Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you and to inform you and to enlighten you and to inspire you and hopefully by God's grace activate you into your destiny is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Also joining us this morning to do the very same thing is the one, the only, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. If you're at your office today, sit back, do a little tap, tap on the keyboard, do what the boss says, and listen up with your ears and your heart, for you are going to be enlightened and encouraged. If you're driving, don't pray with your eyes closed. Keep them open. And if you're working hard at home like so many are today, raising a family, crank her up. Be encouraged. The light of God is going to come into your home in Jesus' name. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Also joining us to encourage you this morning and to inform you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Glory to God. Here we are. Here we are. We have so many things to share with you in the Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you need to listen to it because you'll be encouraged and understanding that we have the ability to adjust, and you'll be reminded, and you may even have a few laughs about it, but you'll be reminded that we can adjust. God has created us as human beings, created his image and likeness, that we can adjust to our conditions, our circumstances. And when we're willing to go through something, our faith gets stronger. I mean, a lot of people look at people that are fit, for example, you know, and they have a low amount of body fat and all this type of stuff, you know, and they go, wow, look, you know, and they say, you know, I'd like to be able to be that fit. And but there's a process between where you are and where they are. And the thing is, are you willing to pay that price that they paid to be there? I mean, some people just have genetics like Pat. But, you know, but us, we have to go through a rigorous deprivation, you know, and all that just to get to that particular point. But you know, there's a process. God's created us, you know, to be able to do that. But I don't want to talk right up front. I just want to tell you what's happening in your nation, God's news behind the news. And we began to talk about this, but today we're going to have an interview from Blaze Television, talking specifically about the Democratic National Convention, in which they are having the Juma. The Juma is going to be at the DNC, 2012 DNC, which they are putting Islam on the stage and talking. I want you to hear this, because understand this, that for example, when somebody says, you know, this is an anti-stick pan, a frying pan, right? They're cooking something, and if you buy this particular pan and you cook an egg on it, for example, and it's anti-stick pan, I mean, what does that mean?
It means it's non-stick. It's not going to stick to it.
Right. So sticking has nothing to do with that, right? Because it's anti-stick, you know? Or you think about, you know, I can't think of any other examples. Can you think of an example about something like anti, you know, let me think. We're thinking. do 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 do. No, I'm do do doing. You're gonna okay, be thinking do do do.
Okay. I have no idea.
Like anti-static.
Anti
spray your clothes.
Yeah, anti-static spray.
There, Pat.
This sounds like Jeopardy. I'll take anti-static spray for $300, Alex.
That was good.
It was. I don't know if it exists, but we can use it. We can use that. I don't know.
It does exist. I have a can of it.
It's called anti-static.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You spray it on your clothes before you put it on, so they don't stick to your body. Dress clothes usually. Yeah.
I thought we were the only ones worried about that, and realized Pat was worried about that.
Wow, Pat.
Well, you don't want my clothes.
Well, you know, the Saints like, t-shirts that? Don't look good.
Yeah,
the Saints. You know.
It's totally different today. Today it is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh.
No, look at that. He like fell out. No, it's not. It's not. No, so you know the so anti-stick. So if you actually take anti-static spray and you spray it on your clothes when you put them on, it's not going to stick to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not going to have static electricity, so it's going to repel staticness.
Mm-hmm.
And so your expectations then, it's just a normal expectation when something says anti, that means that It's whatever it's saying, it's anti against, you know, that's not going to happen. Yeah. And you're going to get your money back, right?
Yeah.
If you go looking like, you know, like a shrink wrap package when you buy some anti static stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, you know, anybody from the South that's going north, buy again. Because by the time you get there, you're going to look like shrink wrap. The weather's so cold. You know, it's for those ones who actually, you know, want some distance between their clothes and their skin. Anyway, so
very important. Very important.
Highly underrated. Highly underrated in this life. It's like, what are you doing? Pull them up. Loosen it up a little bit. Anyway, so then the Democratic National Convention, our president, who the president's over, for example, if it's a Republican president, he's over the Republican National Convention. If it's a Democratic president, he's over, or she's over the Democratic National Convention. So the Democratic National Convention is being led by President Barack Obama.
Sure. Right. He's ahead of the party. Really.
He's ahead of the party. And so that's just the way it works with that. And he's inviting, like he's been doing all along from all the way from the beginning in Cairo, Egypt, with helping mm-hmm. empower the Muslim Brotherhood and in Libya and all the surrounding countries of Israel, you know, working there, making covenant with them here and saying that there it's his job to be able to defend Islam in the world, fight against any negative stereotype of Islam in the world, no matter where it is. I feel that's my responsibility as the president of the United States. And when you look at even the logo, you know, for his campaign, when you see the morning sun, that's actually the morning prayer. It could very well be the morning prayer of that aspect, which, you know, you can be. You know, it's not a religious test for being president. But the whole thing that the Muslim Brotherhood is against the U.S. Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and they want a caliphate, and us as believers, that they say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that he has to come back and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find this on the VFN Torch, you know, just type in Islam in the search area, find it on your app and highlights. You need to see it for yourself. Look at the Quran.
Yes.
Look at the Bible. Don't take anybody's word for it and realize the Quran was written by Muhammad, and, you know, and that's their prophet and that's who they follow. And he says that that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, but he will have to come back and he will apologize. He has to repent for calling himself the Son of God.
Wow.
And then he will help their God, their man around that mm-hmm. time. So you understand this. So that would be anti-Christ,
mm-hmm.
Antichrist, right?
Right.
Yep.
Because they're anti-Jesus. They're saying he's not the Christ. He's not the anointed one of God. He's not the Son of God.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1 John 2:18, he warns us, you know, Paul's writing, or John's writing right here, says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how you know that you're in the last hour." 1 John 2:28. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ.
Right.
This is John talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gospel and the first apostle John. And he says, who? Yeah, that's right. You got the John disclaimer. I got to tell you some stuff that is John. You got these disclaimers here. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah. So who is a liar, he says. I'm reading from the Apostle John. I'll tell you what John says in a minute. John 2:22. He says, "Who is a liar? It is the man who denies Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. He denies the Father and the Son." That means this: if you deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you say you have a relationship with God, and even though you may call him Allah, even though you do that, you don't have a relationship with God because you've denied God when you denied the Son. That's exactly what he says, and it's the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4:3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is from God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. 2 John 1:7, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Understand this. Our president is inviting an Antichrist religion, who he said is a friend of America and not an enemy of the Constitution, who denied Jesus Christ. When you look at the Constitution, you know, we talk about the year of our Lord, our rights come from God, and that it was a Christian foundation over this nation. And the First Amendment gives us the ability to coexist with each other unless you do away with the Constitution. And here, and this is an interview right here of what we heard earlier this week about when somebody in the Muslim Brotherhood was being interviewed. He says anybody that calls himself a moderate Muslim is somebody who's apostate. They're considered apostate. But this is a man that's being interviewed on by Glenn Beck, actually, on Blaze Television. And it's his interview that we're talking to you about, his words. And not Glenn's words here. We're talking about his words, what he's saying about Islam himself. He served in the United States military. He is an American. And his viewpoint of Islam appears to be able to coexist with whatever's happening in America. But what's really happening with our president and his viewpoints of Islam cannot coexist with our Constitution, it looks like. But I want you to listen to this, and we want to hear what's saying, because they're trying to answer, what are they doing with this Juma prayer, this 3 days, given 3 days to the Democratic National Convention? And we know that's the Antichrist, because you're denying Jesus as the Lord. And our president's doing this, and the church is not worried. Listen up, listen.
But that really, is that really what we're talking about now with everything that's going on? Really?
Well, hold on. I want to begin this in just one segment right here. Hold on.
If you'd like a side of religious extremists with your politics, no problem. Head to Charlotte. Extremists are going to be participating side by side with politicians from the Democratic National Convention in an event called Juma at the DNC, a Muslim prayer conference. Okay, Muslims want to pray? I don't really care. Who's involved? How is it connected? Well, the DNC lists the assembly as an official function, and it's hosted by everybody's favorite, the Grand Imam Siraj Wahaj. And you might remember him from some of his classic lines like, "If only Muslims were clever politically, they could take over the United States and replace its constitutional government with..."
Do you hear that? These are the people that he's inviting there. He's saying, listen, that we could, you know, if the Muslims just wake up, they could replace the Constitution. This is who the president is inviting to the Democratic National Convention. We're having a clear choice. Well, we're not having a clear choice. But this is huge. I mean, we're this is like end time. While they're finishing a meeting with the G8, not the G10, the 10 horns, but the G8. And while they're doing that, why Greece is on the brink of disaster, where they're dropping their children off, they can't feed them. Our president's bringing the Antichrist, an Antichrist religion, to, it's like, you know, I can't help but think, you know,
you couldn't write this. You couldn't make this stuff up.
You know, I just can't help but think, you know, that, you know, this could be the last few moments here, you know, because we know, and if you have not yet heard this, Islam is, Satan is strategizing with his people who he's held captive, which Paul talks about when he's writing to Timothy. He says, held captive to do his will. Well, obviously, the people that are, you know, following some Antichrist religion, they're held captive by Satan's mindsets, and they're thinking, they're really thinking that they're right, but they're wrong. It's called deception. And in the end times, I mean, it's this is like serious, oh my goodness, rapid fulfillment. Right. Things could be happening. And just in a couple of days, September the 6th, maybe, or 4th?
The 4th for the Democratic.
Yeah, the Democratic National Convention, which is a couple of days away. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in, giving 3 days to the Antichrist.
Wow.
An Antichrist. And this is, we just read, right? We just read, you know, about the Antichrist spirit right there. We understood that's of the Antichrist when you deny that Jesus is the Christ. But listen to this interview. Keep on listening.
States and replace its constitutional government with a caliphate.
There you go. The very person that they're inviting and to the in the Juma prayer and the group that's leading this up is saying that he said publicly that they can replace the Constitution with the caliphate. I mean, we're not saying this. I mean, God has revealed to us some things and we're sharing what he's revealed to us. But they're saying it in our faces. All this is happening in front of our faces. You know, it's happening right
absolutely.
Out. You know,
at the same time, you have Charlotte 7:14, which is happening actually this Sunday, which is the church getting together and coming to repent in a prayer service. Which is, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Charlotte.
It's called Charlotte 7:14. That's where the Democratic National Convention is going to be held in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so they're filling 20,000 stadium to repent.
9:14?
7:14, based on Second Chronicles.
Oh, Second Chronicles. I thought about the date was 7:14.
Right. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And turn from their ways.
And then that's the answer. That's the answer. You know, that us humbling ourselves and praying and turning from our wicked ways. You know, turning, you know, God, help us turn. But listen, you got to listen to the rest of this because this man is going to speak. You're going to hear firsthand from a moderate Muslim, which the Muslim Brotherhood would consider apostate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we can coexist with his version of it under the Constitution.
Sure.
You know, and you're going to hear him at some point. He's going to say, if liberal Muslims, you know, like John Steinberger's friend was talking about, you know, he says if liberal Muslims don't unite, we're going to lose this republic. It'll never be the same again. And that's what our government is. Our government's a republic. But listen up.
And who could forget this super classic? You know what this country is? A garbage can. It's filthy. But don't worry, because that's the old classic Siraj. He's now a changed man. Well, I don't know what his turning point was, but he now calls himself a moderate Muslim. Remember, nothing to see here, folks. The DNC says the leaders of the program are typical of the DNC community. Really? We're 11 years removed from this generation's Pearl Harbor. And are we now denying the Japanese were involved? Unrepentant Japanese? Because that's what this is. Can you imagine Harry Truman, or Adlai Stevenson for that matter, having a prayer breakfast with an unconquered, unrepentant and refusing to take any responsibility for the bombing Japanese? I don't think so. But Glenn, these are all moderate Muslims. It's sponsored by the Bureau for Indigenous Muslim Affairs. Really? These are Americans who believe in the Constitution and Founding Fathers, they'll tell you. Are they? There is one person that I trust to have this discussion with. On what's really going on. You can call him a hate monger. You can call him a bigot against Muslims, except he's a Muslim.
This is very important. This is what I want you to really listen to and understand. That, you know, part of the Muslim Brotherhood strategy is to tell Americans that you're a moderate Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, it's like saying somebody's a moderate Christian. It's like either you believe the word of God or you don't. There's no such thing as like, I know that it's accepted to be called a moderate or a liberal Christian or my relationship with God is private. I understand that, but which God is that you're private with? Anyway, but that you either believe God or you don't. Mm-hmm. Either God is right or he's not. You don't pick and choose what part of God's, you know, truths that you want to follow. I mean, his truth is truth.
Right.
You know, and it's called sin when we disobey what he says, and sin separates us from God, you know.
Right.
And unrepented sin. And so here he is right here. He's a moderate Muslim, which means he does not follow the Quran fully. He has a different interpretation of a Quran that says very specifically that their savior is coming out of Mecca, the hole in the ground. You know, he's going to put a mark on everybody, and that's going to separate them from everybody else. Well, that's his belief. He wants to believe that. But as long as he doesn't come against our Constitution, Well, the people, what he's saying, this moderate Muslim, he's saying these guys are coming again. This is the Muslim Brotherhood. Our president's bringing this guy in, and he's a Muslim talking mm-hmm. about these guys.
Right.
He's a moderate Muslim, which means he doesn't fully follow the Quran. But listen up. This is the part I really wanted you to hear.
He's also a former lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy and a proud American. He's the author of A Battle for the Soul of Islam, an American Muslim patriot's fight to save his faith. This is a book that everyone, every American should read. He's also the president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. I am proud to call him my friend, Dr. Zudi Jasser. Zudi, how are you, sir?
Great, Glenn. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Go ahead and start on your anti-Muslim rhetoric.
I can't tell you how pro-Muslim.
Go ahead.
I can't tell you how pro-Muslim it is, Glenn, for Muslims to speak up against this prayer service, which is going to be a cover for a radical group. And I'm speaking from experience, Glenn. You know, I've been to Charlotte. I went out and did a town hall with Jibril Huff, who's running this, along with Siraj Wahaj. And he brought out 200 of his fellow radicals. And they basically tried to tell the rest of us that they were the real Muslims and we didn't know what Islam or Muslims were because we were anti-Islamist, and tried to say that anybody that was against them was an Islamophobe. And what we have happening in Charlotte, Glenn, is no small issue, because you have an aligning of two issues. You have one radical group that's been controlling the Muslim community in Charlotte for decades, and then you have the DNC that's decided to have its convention there. So these guys said, oh, we can mainstream ourselves so much better and have a prayer service right on the Friday at which the convention is due to start, and let everyone think that we are moderate Muslims. The DNC says, oh, let's check off the moderate Muslim box.
You have to actually hear this. He said they've been controlling Charlotte for years.
Wow.
Did you hear that? They've been controlling Charlotte. It's like Dearborn, Michigan, where they were stoning Christians. You can go on the VFN Torch and you can hear about, and the language is so bad we couldn't put the video up there, but they were stoning Christians. Mm-hmm. And the media said nothing about it. This is not a logical argument. This mm-hmm. is a viewpoint between God and his people.
Yeah.
You're not going to think this thing through. You're not going to politic your way out of this. We're going to be able to fall. The only thing we can do is say, God, you're right. We're wrong. We've sinned. We acknowledge what we've done wrong. We ask his forgiveness. And then we repent. We find his teachings and follow his teachings and abide with him. And in that, that's the only thing that stops something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But listen what he said. He said very specifically that the Muslim Brotherhood has already been. So our president chose Charlotte, of all the places, to be able to hold the Democratic National Convention. He's choosing Islam to be there for 3 days in the Democratic National Convention. He's promoting, allowing the people to promote, and he's promoting, because he hadn't it, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, who's already been running Charlotte already,
mm-hmm.
is what he's saying right here. But listen up.
Of so much better and have a prayer service right on the Friday at which the convention is due to start, and let everyone think that we are moderate Muslims. The DNC says, oh, let's check off the moderate Muslim box and say that they can have their prayers. They give them the space, the websites, etc. When pressured about it, they say, well, you know, they're not official, but basically we're giving them the space. Now, if the KKK or the Nazi party decided to have a prayer service, I'm sure the DNC spokespeople would have something to say about it.
I think he's right. Don't you think that?
Yeah,
he's right.
Yeah, come on, give me a break.
But you understand, this is VFN Radio is for Christians. We're for the church. Church are people, not buildings. So we're talking to the believer, you know, about what's going on. We're also talking to the backslider, the one who's gone astray, and we're trying to, you know, to encourage you to come back to God. And we're also talking to the ones being drawn to God. And what we're talking about right here to you is this is the Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
And our president, the one leading our country, is leading and orchestrating this Antichrist religion and presenting it on the stage. I mean, it's relevant in the context, like Hitler, when he set up an entire stage, how he was going to visually present what he wanted to do, just like Woodrow Wilson setting up a stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about presentation. It's all about presentation and how you present it. And they're about to put on the stage in our country, America, Antichrist's religion.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Jesus. Jesus is not the Son of God, is what they proclaim. When you go listen to Call to Prayer inside the VFN Torch on your highlights, this is the prayer every single day in the Call to Prayer, 5 times a day and 3 or 4 times, whatever, each time. They're saying that Allah is God, Muhammad is their prophet, which means he's the one that denies Jesus Christ as the Lord.
Right.
Every single day, five times a day. And he is saying, this is like, oh my goodness, this is Antichrist. Wow. I mean, you know, I don't want to say, but you know, like that he said, this is what John said. You know, John Ramos said, no, John said, no, really, the Apostle John said that this is Antichrist. He's the one that said it. Yeah. We read it. And I think John Ramos says it too, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
There you go.
That's right. Right.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, I heard that, man. I don't want to pray about it. I don't know. But but I'm just saying, we can wake up. This is like a huge sign to the church. It's like, you know, hey, we better wake up. This is the Antichrist promulgating and pushing his captives and pushing his religion. And if we let it take a stage and we say nothing while we're in sin, it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. Like I said, the very beginning of the first hour, that, you know, Katrina came and it meant, you know, purify and cleansing, and we didn't do it. Now we have laughter, Isaac coming, and Proverbs 1 says, he said, I'll laugh at your disaster, you know, and because we didn't listen to him, we didn't listen to his rebuke, we didn't follow his teachings, we didn't want his heart to be made known to us, and he says, I'll laugh at, so we have laughter hovering over where purity once was, in New Orleans right now as we're speaking to you. In a few days, our president's going to put the Antichrist on a stage, the spirit is give him voice to our nation, and the nation doesn't tremble. The church doesn't tremble and say, we've sinned. Listen, we can still repent, but listen up to this.
I know many Muslims in that area that would have nothing to do with Jibril Huff or Siraj Wahaj.
Okay, before we get into them, I have to tell you, you're one of the kindest people I've ever seen, because if you really think that the DNC is a hapless victim in this, I think you're sadly mistaken. They know exactly who they're dealing with. They're the ones bringing the Muslim Brotherhood into our system of government right now. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
If you look at who's been invited on the list.
Okay, hold on a minute. Yeah, he asked them the question that needed to be asked. He's saying, listen, the DNC, the president, he's the DNC, and everybody does what he said. They're not innocent of this. They're the ones bringing in the Muslim Brotherhood. Isn't this correct? And because it's a tough thing for a moderate Muslim to buy into, because he has to either answer yes or no. And he says, yes. Listen up.
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
If you look at who's been invited on the list to the iftar dinner at the White House.
An iftar dinner is a dinner to celebrate the Islamic religion and all the things that are going on. The president had that there.
I believe it's when they break their fast or something.
And they break their fast and all that. But it's the radical. Okay, listen who he's inviting there. Listen who he's inviting there. And he says, no, Glenn, you're not wrong in saying that our president is doing that. We just say DNC. It's him. It's him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dealing with. They're the ones bringing the Muslim Brotherhood into our system of government right now. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
If you look at who's been invited on the list to the iftar dinner at the White House, the how closely knit people like Congressman Ellison, who I talk about at length in my book about his apologetics on Islamism. If you look at our policy in Egypt and how much we've been facilitating and funding the Brotherhood's ascendancy there, you'll find that, you know, I don't disagree with you. I mean, this guy running this, 2 years ago, he had an organization called the Islamic Political Party of America. I myself, wearing my Navy uniform in 1995, saw Siraj Wahaj at the Islamic Society of North America hold up the Quran and say that we as Muslims need to change the Constitution with this book from God.
Think about it. The very ones that they're bringing right now, you got to understand this. Our president was a professor that taught constitutional law.
Yeah.
He taught constitutional law. He was raised up. If you have not yet seen Obama 2016, it honors him as a person and it tells his story. You know, and you can learn a lot, but he was raised up by communists.
Yeah, anti-colonialism.
Anti-colonialism, but also communists, outright card-carrying communists. They had a number in the Communist Party, which basically says that our Constitution is wrong and the way we do government is wrong. He taught constitutional law. You know, and they're using the Constitution against us, just like the Islamic mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He said, "In the Constitution will protect." It's like, oh my goodness! And what you're saying is this: don't think logically about it, because we left God's word and we said that He's not sovereign, He's not God over all. Then He's saying, "Listen, you're going to leave the word of that I allowed you to have, called the Constitution, in this nation, and you're not going to have your sovereignty." So what do? We just go, "I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, my goodness, we repented. Drop all your religion. Drop all your traditions. Drop everything you're doing now. I don't know how much time you have left to be able to repent and share the word." Because it says, if you don't let people know, when you know, their blood's on your hands. Pass this around. We can get this word to the nation. Get them to like the VFN TV Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com. Get them to follow us on Twitter. Get them to become a go to VFN TV and just watch these prophetic words. Listen, we have moments. We have moments left. Mm-hmm. I think about, you know, that they fiddled why Rome burned. When I saw them dancing around, you know, and I don't know who's covering the RNC. But it's like, it is not the RNC's friend, because the camera points at pretty much everybody that's white and over 50 and heavy like me, you know, and they're dancing around. It's like, that's not all of America. America doesn't look like that.
Right.
And they're dancing. But the only thing I can hear in my spirit is this, is, you know, and I'm for conservative leadership and all that, but I'm just, only thing I can see is, you know, Israel dancing and partying and realizing that, you know, many, many Tarkin Yufarfin is going to be written on the wall. You know, you've been found, you've been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. Remember the hand that appeared and just began to write on the wall. Now, the writing is on the wall. Right, John? Mm-hmm. Is this right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I just really feel that I just, all I can sense in my spirit, and I don't want to, you know, listen, I want to tell you right up front. I mean, this is so not me. I mean, I'll do what God's, we're like Ezekiel here.
Yeah.
You know, we're just telling you what God's telling us. But if you follow my track record, I'm always the person that's going, "Let's just get along." You know, why people are beating me spiritually in the face, not right?
Absolutely true.
And I never said a thing.
Nope.
I never said a thing. I've been betrayed. I've been lied about. I've been, you know, terrible things have happened, but it just wasn't, you know, we're doing what we're doing for the audience. So one, we're not doing it for man. So it really doesn't really matter. But then the one I'm doing it for says, now you have to do this. You're going to have to do this, you know, and it put tremble, I'm sure, in the boots of those who, who have done these things in the past, but it has nothing to do with them. You know, God has grace for everything, and it's all preparatory. But here we are, we're moments away from this, and it's just like you want to just scream to the top of your lungs, but it has to be a conversation. We have to begin to talk, because it's not about just going, "Help." It's about, "Help me, God, I have sinned. Let me find out your ways and follow them. Let me abide with you." And that's what we're all about. And you can right now, you could go to your Facebook and you could tell everybody, "Listen, you've got to get this now. Like this page now." You can say, "You got to go to VFN TV and be a free subscriber now." You can say, "Make the application, download that app now." This is not about entertainment. You know, although we have fun to share this conversation, we're doing it because it's just this, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is, you know. And if you're on there's a grace for your place. If you're where God's told you to be, there's a grace for your place. But if you're not, I don't care what you're preaching or what you're doing, who you say you are, there's not a grace for that place. And that wave is coming, and it's going to wash right over you. And we saw in Waveland that no matter what is standing, it will fall if it's not built on Jesus Christ. Right? And let's listen to this interview we're talking about right now. It's an interview about the Democratic National Convention, where they're bringing in Antichrist. They're bringing an Antichrist religion and promoting it. And they're saying it's the one that's leading this thing, along with our president who's leading it, is they're against our Constitution. He's a constitutional professor. They're using our Constitution to take, but understand, it's not them. You can't sit there and get all angry and point your fingers at them, because it's us who have sinned. Yeah. It's us that have fallen short. The answer is us. Listen, sir, you're going to have to say no to Jezebel and her gods. You know, ma'am, you're going to have to get in order.
That's right.
Family, you're going to have to get in order. Church, you're going to have to get in order. Board of directors, you need to go in the Bible and find out, you know, this church doesn't run on big wheels and boards. Mm-hmm. It runs on prophetic leadership and apostolic foundations, and that it's time for the church to get back to the place that God is turning our hearts back to God. But listen up. Listen what's taking place at the Democratic National Convention, that they're against our Constitution, and like what God showed us, you know, that he showed us a reporter standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange and saying, in 6 minutes, the world's going to change, fall, the economy's going to fall, and it's going to change forever. Well, he's telling us on this side where we can repent. Right. This is evil. This is wrong, but this is because the church has sinned. Listen up.
Because the document is written by men that runs this government. And I was chagrined, went to the microphone and told all 20,000 Muslims there that they need to leave this seditious meeting. And I talk about that in my book. And, you know, when I see these guys leading a prayer at the DNC, I just look at what's happening to our country and remember what our founding fathers fought for against theocracy. And I hope Muslims especially can wake up and no longer let these radicals represent us.
Think about it. He says what we fought against was theocracy, which means mm-hmm. a religion where the king was over the church in mm-hmm. England.
Right.
And so that we fought, our Revolutionary War was us fighting to get from out from under that, where we can mm-hmm. personally have a relationship with God. You know, and he's saying, and he told 20,000 Muslims, listen, you got to wake up. These guys are against. He said, this is what this guy said, who's over this thing, is orchestrating it. He said that the Constitution was put together by men, was put together by men, not their God, not Allah.
Right.
But that's what he's saying, not by Muhammad. And so, and we're saying, don't mess with the Constitution, brother. You know, because this, you know, you swore when you became a citizen of the country, you swore an allegiance to this nation, that you would defend it, the Constitution, from enemies foreign and domestic. And if you're attacking it, you don't even need to be in this country.
Exactly.
You are against this mm-hmm. country. You need to find you one you like. You know, there's nice right. countries exactly. out there that wants a caliphate. They want to go away with their Constitution. Hey, go with them. Mm-hmm. But we want to keep our Constitution. But we know we can only keep it, church, if we fall to our knees and keep the Word of God in our heart and begin to keep His laws. But listen up.
As Americans.
Okay. First of all, what is a Jummah prayer?
It's the Arabic word for our Friday congregational prayers. And
okay.
I think it's interesting that they chose to keep the Arabic term, but it's basically our Friday prayers.
I knew you were going to say that you thought it was interesting, and I have no idea why you do. Why is that a tip-off?
Well, because the supremacist mindset, Glenn, is to say that, for example, I say I believe in the God of Abraham. The Islamists say they believe in Allah. Like, they make it as if we pray to somebody else that we don't believe like the Christians and the Jews, and they want to separate us out. So whenever they try to have a function, they'll put in an Arabic word, transliterate it into English letters, and make it seem like it's some foreign thing, rather than saying it's like Sunday church services or Saturday Sabbath or Friday Sabbath services, etc. And it's simply our congregational prayers, and that's what I call it until my children are going to do on Friday.
Okay. I know that The Blaze is working on another follow-up story on this for tomorrow, but can you give me who these two guys are, Wahaj and Hoth, in a nutshell? Do you know, they say they're moderate Muslims now. I mean, we've read the Muslim Brotherhood literature. That's exactly what they say to say. Do you know of any turning point? Who are these guys?
Well, this is the issue. We can't judge them based just on their prayer services, which they're free to do. As politicians, as theocrats, they have a long history of very radical ideas. Jibril Huff himself ran the Islamic Political Party of America, has said yesterday, actually, on Channel 9 in Charlotte, he told the reporter that American soldiers are the insurgents in Afghanistan and Iraq while the Muslims were defending their homes. I mean, here you have this guy who's running this thing saying...
Our president, the one that's commander-in-chief of our military forces, is partnering with... This is obviously in his heart. This is what he thinks about our soldiers. Mm-hmm. And for every soldier that's listening right now, the suicide rate is higher than it's ever been before. Could it be the spirit that's over our armed forces, that this that they're against you? Mm-hmm. This is how they think about us that fight and fight for our country and lay down our lives and loved ones. He's the commander in chief over the military forces, and he's inviting somebody into the Democratic National Convention, which he's over, Antichrist spirit that wants to do away with our Constitution. And this is what he thinks about our military. Our commander in chief, this is what he thinks about our military. Listen up.
Saying that American soldiers are the enemies of Muslims. I mean, that's probably what Nidal Hassan thought. And if you look at Siraj Wahaj, he was an unindicted co-conspirator in the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center. He was a character witness for the blind sheikh. Andy McCarthy has talked about him, you know, significantly. And then I saw him talk about changing this government. He's a leader in the CARE organization, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. He's being given an award by them in the next month, along with Dennis Kucinich, another great moderate thinker. But so, at the end of the day, you know, these are part of the Islamist Muslim Brotherhood legacy groups in America.
Okay. I've known you. You've been on the show since I first started, I think, on CNN. You've been one of the only guests that have been on, you know, all of the.
You got to think about this. He's talking to him right now about some other things. But understand this. Right now, this is what our commander in chief thinks or feels about, you know, what is taking place. You know, it's like it's the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist. You know, when you think about it
seriously.
And so this guy right here, he is a moderate Muslim. No, he's a moderate Muslim. And in that, you know, I want you to hear what he has to say, but just listen up.
You never go away because you have so much credibility. This is the number one, I don't have the chart in front of me, but it has been all day, the number one charting story on The Blaze all day. The mainstream media has completely missed this. What is the main takeaway that you get from the mainstream media not paying any attention to the story at all? What does it tell you about the health of our republic?
Well, it tells me that we've lost vision. We've lost a sight of, we've allowed our country to be divided by a polarity of partisan bickering while we lose the long-term goal of what it means to be free, what it means to be a liberal society. And we're forgetting that these little battles that we have in Charlotte, or that I've been fighting, as I wrote in my book, that you know, most of the story in the book came because of the many of the platforms you've given me, Glenn, and I talk about that in the book. And at the end of the day, people like you are the people that allow us to explain to America that it's not just about the elections every cycle, it's not just about the next 2 months, but the long-term process of what's happening with Muslims in America. The battle within the mosques, within organizations, the battle within Europe about the identity of the West and the free societies versus Islamists, the battle within the Middle East of political Islam versus the liberal Muslims. And they're not going to win this if we push and help the liberal Muslims. But if we help the Brotherhood and others, we're going to lose to these 57 countries that are Muslim majorities, and the republic that we know will not be the way it was formed to be at the founding fathers.
Zudi, thank you so much.
Think about that. The very republic that we know will not be the same as our founding fathers. A moderate Muslim understands what's going on. And the thing is that if a moderate Muslim stands up, you know, for against this, they're having to say what's written in the Quran is not actually right. It's like a Christian's trying to stand up and say, and when the Bible plainly says this, and they can't stand up and say something because they know it's written in the Bible.
Right.
And so you can't stand up if the Quran openly says what they're saying. And so, but he says, we're going to lose the republic here. We're going to lose the republic. And that's what it is. And we're not going to get it politically. We're not going to get to keep it politically. We're going to get it through humility. You know, either humble ourselves or be humiliated, as James Robinson said. And you can see it on the VFN torch. This is the word the Lord gave to America. Humble yourself or be humiliated. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more. Mm-hmm. You know, they love the VFN radio program. They love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, You have your VFN radio. You have Facebook. You have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just, for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. You want to get right into the wisdom moment. You know, we always talk about the wisdom moment each day. It gives us time. We want to be able to look at the wisdom of God, making right choices. I like what they have on our VFN TV app, you know, where, you know, it has a sign with an arrow pointing to the right and a sign with an arrow pointing to the left. It basically points two ways. And when you look into the Word of God, when you look into wisdom, wisdom tells you what, how to make a decision, how to make a decision. And I'm just seeing John like catch something in the air. I don't know what it is. We just need to pray for him. It's funny.
I just want to make sure Wes Knott doesn't get me, man. These things are
Oh my goodness. And so, you know, but I want to talk about the wisdom moment, because we need wisdom. We got so many decisions we're making every single day. That just believe, man, believe. A shield of faith. We're looking at Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, because it's the 30th of the month. Proverbs 30, 15. And you also can hear all these words of wisdom now on your application, on your VFN TV app. You have the prophetic category. You have the words of wisdom, wisdom moment category. You have the original tent of America category. You're talking about the Constitution, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. You have the original tent of the church is available for it. I mean, the app is pretty cool. It's free. Download it, VFN TV, or go to VFNTV.com and just, it'll lead you to it. But today's wisdom moments, Proverbs 30, 15, it simply says this. It says, the leech, L-E-E-C-H, the leech has two daughters. Give, they cry. Think about it. The leech has two daughters. What do you think about that, John?
Mm-hmm.
The leech has two daughters. The leech has two daughters. She says, give, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is a leech? A leech is a worm that has suckers on both ends of it. You know, they used to put leeches on people. They thought if you just suck. I mean, as a matter of fact, I believe that President, was it George Washington, died because they bled him to death. It may have been George Washington. They put bleach. He was sick. And he said,
yeah, it was one of our presidents. That
was the blood-sucking worms they put on him. It's like, man, politics has not changed much. Anyway, the leech has two daughters. Give, they cry. Well, a leech is a worm with suckers on both ends that are like they can just suck the blood out of you. You know, today, think about it. Today, this proverb today. Today, the daughters and sons of the leech cry aloud in our streets, and they're never satisfied. They cry, give me more, give me this, give me a job. A woman said, you know, in the future, this is what a lady said, in the future, if I, you know, I will take all the rich people's money, and I would go feed the homeless and the hungry. Someone overheard her, and they said, well, why don't you just help them now? He said, come over to my home and, you know, cut my grass and trim my hedge and rake my yard, and I'll give you $50 and you can go out and you can feed them with that or help the homeless. Mm-hmm. She replied, why don't I just send them over to your house to cut your grass and trim your hedge and rake your yard, and you can feed them? And he says, welcome to America and the original tent of the founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Mm. Think about it. You know, but it's God. I mean, it's one nation under God, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of government taking away from everybody's wealth and distributing it, we, the church, got to quit robbing God mm-hmm. and give him his tithes and offerings and give to the poor. You got to mm-hmm. find out what God's perspective of the poor. We're supposed to give it ourselves.
Yeah.
And so instead of the government taking away from everyone's wealth and distributing it, they support the local businessman or businesswoman. You know, we can support the local businessman and businesswoman, and the government can support the local businessman and woman, and they will hire this person and give them monies for their labor so they can feed themselves and have a home. It's listen to it. This is the title of it. It's called a job. It's called a job. You know, and our form of government, you know, we think about it, it's a republic. This is our intent of our country. You know, the pledge, we have a pledge that says, I pledge allegiance mm-hmm. to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, not the democratic government, but to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and justice and liberty for all. That's what we're supposed to be about. And it's under God. And if it's under God, that means we can look at God's word and what he says the very same thing. This is not foreign to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 15 tells us about a warning about these leeches. He tells us a warning about idleness. You know, Paul, the apostle Paul, is writing to God's people. And this is what he says in verse 6. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you. I mean, think about it. We mm-hmm. command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us, that lives an idle life. I mean, there has never been so much idleness and idolatry probably in America's history now. Mm-hmm. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not talking about, we don't expect you just to give it. You know, we're involved in the process here. On the contrary, he says, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to anyone. And we did this not because we didn't deserve the right for such help, but in order that we make ourselves a model for you to follow. He was saying, listen, you got to be able to work for food. Because he goes on to say, says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat.
That's right.
Think about it.
That's right.
And it's like work is not a foreign thing. This is how God's designed us. And he goes on to say, he says, we hear that some of you are idle. He's talking to God's people here, not talking to the world. He's talking to God's people. Mm-hmm. They are not busy, but they're busybodies. You know?
I'm running, but not going nowhere.
I'm Facebooking. You know, I'm just idle here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm updates. Such people we command and urge in the name of the Lord to settle down and earn the bread that you eat. Mm. This is the word of God.
That's right.
First of all, let me tell you this. When you earn it, it just tastes so much better. Mm. Even though it may be less, the fact that you went out and you labored for it and you trusted God for it, it is so much better. And he goes on and says this, and as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what's right. And he says, keep an eye on these folks. He says, keep an eye. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, he says, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. We should feel ashamed when we're not working and involved in the process of gathering our food and paying for it. He says, yet don't regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother. Today's proverb, Proverbs 13:15, he says, the leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Well, God bless. We're ending the extra hour today. We had a wonderful time. God is good. Don't forget, you can catch the top three on the VFN Torch. We get a chance to share them with you today, but you can find them at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Don't forget to get the app and spread the word. God bless, and we'll see you live on the loop in about 30 minutes, and also tomorrow at 9 a.m. God bless.